Patricia Wolf, and I have taken on the responsibility of being chairperson for the Committee for Museum Planning. All of you received a letter from me sometime right after Thanksgiving expressing the concern of 43 representatives of Alaska museums. We met in Kenai early in November. While we are appreciative of all that the State Museum has done, and from looking over their budget, I see that they share our similar concerns, we really feel that with the amount of money that they have requested and the amount of money that they have been allocated, that they cannot possibly meet the needs of the small museums within the state. There are 50 such museums, and in my letter I did append a list of all of those museums and historical societies. They all have a collection of some sort, but they do not have adequate facilities. In most cases, they do not have trained staff. It's just a group of ardent volunteers who are caring for these objects, which are very important for our cultural and historical and the life of Alaska. I would urge you to consider the conservation position very strongly. And I would also ask you to think about an increase in two other areas. That is the grants and aid program, which the State Museum has been conducting. I think it is important to realize that out of the 50 museums, even if you were to increase the budget, for example, to, let's say, $1,000 per museum, we're talking about the need for fire suppressant systems, for temperature control, for adequate cases, for storage, for staff training so that these artifacts can be used to educate people in the communities. And also, I think a very important component of that would be the use of museums and historical societies by the tourists who come to Alaska. We have a very rich heritage here, and we want to share it with everyone in the community, people who live there and people who are visiting. A final concern that we have is the need for a development of a statewide plan. This was not in the budget proposed by the State Museum people, because we had not met in Kenai and had not asked them for this. But the idea of a statewide plan is not new to you. I know you've done the same for libraries, the same for the performing arts facilities, which we now rebuilt in the bond issue, I understand this year. And small museums are urging you to allocate approximately $30,000 if you can for a needs assessment and for the beginning of the development of a statewide plan so that there can be continuous support of the small museums and historical societies throughout the state.
Any questions?
I've got a question. I noticed that while it shows that the 513.6 is 16% above the current year's authorization, actually it's about a 1% increase over the 77 actual expenditure, so that we're not even keeping up with inflation if you compare what we did a year ago.
We had less
than. I'm curious why the cut was made last year.
We gave grants.
The grants? Only 10
grand. We must have given a special grant of some sort in 1977.
We had an increase in our acquisitions for FY78 of $25,000. I'm not sure that accounts for it.
Pat, you're asking for $30,000 for a needs assessment in addition to the figure of 578, or is that included in the 578 figure? The 578 just includes the conservator position, but the feeling that you're to me that you need an additional $30,000 for a statewide needs assessment.
Did I also hear you speaking to an additional $50,000, basically $1,000 for each of the small museums for maintenance and you're talking about 80,000.
Any further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Monroe.
State Library.
What they are doing currently, I believe, is assigning those materials which they buy already on an approval plan to the Health Sciences Library if they pertain to a certain area of the classification that they assign to that section of the library, and I believe they consider this their contribution.
As I understand my discussion with the university, however, Mr. Obar is not, at this moment at least, contemplating committing $35,000 to those kinds of purchases next year, and that's what you have identified in the budget.
This is the information that was given to me by the Health Sciences Librarian after the meeting.
I'll do some more
work on that. There may be changes in there. I'm sure that they didn't know at the time of the makeup.
The reason I'm asking, of course, is if they change that commitment, would you be coming back to the committee for general funds increase?
There was concern in Anchorage that the position, I think it was media coordinator, state library media coordinator, not requested in the budget. Normally it's funded.
It is requested in the regular operations budget, but it was not recommended by the government. No, it is librarian three. We have for several years requested a school library media coordinator to work with school districts and with individual schools in developing their school library programs. I think there is a sizable need for this. We have not yet succeeded in meeting it. We're doing a little better this year because we have some publications that are helping. We have a budget-funded institute which is training 30 participants from mainly rural areas, but we do not have an ongoing program.
Is that rural training is Alaska Native Institute?
No, that is a separate program that was funded last year and is not yet in operation. Some of the assistance that we need is still coming in. We want to assign the funds appropriately. We're working with the people who are on the board of the Santa Fe Institute and with the Alaska Native Foundation trying to take the most of the money that is left.
What exactly will that do with respect to libraries?
I believe it is intended to assist Native students in art training.
Art training?
Any further questions on library? Thank you very much. Okay. Program evaluation, case 212.
I'm Mary Lee Madden, Department of Education. The next section is the program evaluation section, which provides technical assistance and fund administration in the areas of general education, career and voc ed, special education, and our federal education funds. It is basically a maintenance budget with the exception of special education, which is on page 107. Due to a decrease in federal funds, the appropriate federal figure should be 228.4, as in the
Page 107?
Page 107, right.
228.4?
Right, and the 303.3 should be adjusted accordingly.
That would be 276.2 instead of 303.
Right.
276.2.
Are there any questions on this aspect? If not, we could discuss our SBP, which is administered but not funded.
Go ahead.
The vocational education.
Go ahead. Who wants to talk about RSVP?
Okay, RSVP is a program whereby students from small schools that do not have access to a large number of occupational opportunities in their district can come into Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau to get on-the-job training for a two-week period. It's a highly successful program. It's been running for about the past 5 or 6 years. It is funded at this particular point in time about 50% by state funds and the Vocational Education Foundation unit and about 50% by federal funds. That breakout is about 250,000 states.
Where's it shown right now? I'm sorry.
The program does not appear in our budget as a separate item. State monies are part of the Vocational Education Foundation program. They're just lumped into there. They are generated on a foundation unit.
Okay. It's in a foundation.
Half of it is. The federal funds go into this program are in our federal grant section. It's part of the vocational grant program.
Can you clarify something for the committee? You meant at the start here, do they have funds allocated in fiscal 79 from the federal program budget?
Yes, they do, but this has been fairly recent, and I think came about after most of the letters that you had received. Because of the change in the Vocational Education Act at the federal level, there was a great deal of concern generated as to whether those funds should be used to fund operating ongoing programs such as RSVP. The group in the state that allocates that funds had decided that the federal support of RSVP should be stopped and those funds diverted more into seed programs, equipment purchases and other things that we need to strengthen vocational education. And in the 1978 plan, there was a decision that RSVP would be funded only for 1978 at about $250,000, I believe. Since then, the group has met and has decided that those funds would be allocated to RSVP in 1979, but that would be the last year of federal funding.
For total funding?
No, for federal funding.
For total funding for 79, for what they want?
They will have total funding for 79, right.
Ms. Thompson?
Yes.
Do you have any additional comments to make on RSVP?
The program has grown to such an extent that we feel a continuity in funding should be developed now. That's why we started approaching the legislature this year. When we started, we did not know we would have federal funds for next year, but we would still like to be considered, mainly because it's going to start us on a basis where we can assure the program's running year after year. The schools, I think, have indicated their interest in the program to most of you through letters, and they have shown their support for the program for the last 6.5 years or 7 years that it's been running. And we feel that an appropriation this year would help us a great deal in establishing stability.
Okay.
Is there any part of the RSVP program that's under the program evaluation section?
The administration of it, working with the regional coordinators, making sure that the grants are processed and the paperwork done, we do that out of career and vocational education.
Okay, but all you're talking about is the grant portion of it. Okay, and that's under the foundation program.
Just briefly, the problem with the foundation formula is that it's generated on number of children. Because this is a 2-week period, it takes an enormous amount of students going through to generate one unit, and that's where they're having the major. I think it takes 160 students to generate two vocational units.
One more question. Would it be better then to change the formula than to just put additional funding in?
I think it might be better to look at another way of funding ISDP than just
the formula.
I would really only take an appropriation to a category of the budget. The change of the funding formula would require statutory change. We've taken a look at this, and it would be extremely difficult to change that formula to accommodate RSVP. Because what happens is, after the first two units, in which 160 students over a 2-week period will generate, it takes twice that to generate the next unit because of the way the formula scales. So the first 5 students get a unit, 10 students get 2 units, then you jump up to 20, and then on and on and on. So if you had 5 units, you'd have to run through 2,000 students or something. And that's probably not a realistic kind of thing, because the cost factors are almost directly proportional to the number of students. The major cost factors are moving those students to travel and giving them something to eat and a place to live for.
Mr. Chairman, how did they get the federal funds for 78-79?
Through the grant program that we participate in with the federal government. Those funds do flow through the state. We get close to $1 million for state administration and various programs. And that's RSVP has just received a portion of those funds that applied for and received them.
Mr. Chairman, did we by legislative action create this? Or is this something that came out of the department?
RSVP? No, it was a program developed by the department.
Sergeant Tilley.
I'm just wondering how much danger there'd be of the feds letting us take over the whole thing as soon as we make it a budget item. Or what the odds are of continuing. Federal funds, as
Well, the odds of getting federal funds, to leave it as is, right now are not very good, because we're really circumventing the purpose of federal funds by continuing to fund an operating program. The federal vocational funds are primarily to start new programs to provide those over and above expenses, which the state program does not pick up, large equipment purchases, that sort of thing. So we're on fairly shaky ground with the federal government.
But they are going to fund you this year.
They will fund us.
Are we doing the same thing here that we were doing with Johnson and Elliott a few years ago?
Well, in general, you're doing the same thing that you do with federal money in many, many cases. Talk about Johnson and Elliott, it's a categorical money to do something supplementary. Vocational education supplementary. Title I supplementary. What happens many times, it's a fact of life, is programs do become popular. They do seem to be doing something to improve education. And they naturally get a sort of a lobby, if you would have, supporting them. And essentially that's happened with the RSVP. Just generally considered to be a very worthwhile program. But the federal funds are not going to continue for that purpose.
Did the legislature have a vote in the setting up of this program to begin with?
I don't believe so. It was a little bit before my time. I think it just grew out of the need in rural education and the attempt to serve it.
Okay, thank you. Before going any further into the budget, we have a number of people, I believe, here from the regional resource centers throughout the state. And it's part of the foundation program. No. It's page 39. Who wants to speak? Okay. This is the REA program under SB 35 Pulitzer.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate your taking the time to listen to the Regional Resource Centers. My name is Carl Flick. I'm the chairman of the Statewide Regional Resource Center Advisory Committee. And we have with us the members of this committee, Warren Knight and Bob McConnell, Mark Hansen. Also, I think all five directors are here. Margaret Fair, Robert Brown, Margaret's in the Western Region. Robert Brown is Bristol Bay, John Stom, South Central. Hart Morton's in Northwest, and Alan Barnes here is with the Southeast. And we also have Shirley Ridinger, our information officer. You have an information packet, I believe, that was put out this morning on some of the things that the Regional Resource Centers are doing. And in that packet also of the committees that have endorsed us. I'd like to bring to your attention a few points. There are a variety of reasons to reconsider the Department of Education's budget request of $350,000 to support regional resource centers. Briefly, I'll outline some of those things. One, the funding level is not adequate to demonstrate to school districts the capability of delivering the educational services. Number two, the Department of Education is conducting an internal assessment of educational service delivery. Regional resource centers have been cited as an alternative to deliver services to districts. Through the RRC, the variety of educational services are more accessible to the consumer because they're located in the areas where the consumer is at. Three, the original request for RRCs in 1976 was for $800,000. The RRCs received only $400,000, creating a hardship and stabilizing a solid hard money program. Four, the fact that only four centers operated during the last fiscal year and a fifth was organized this year with a drop from the $400,000 to a $350,000 funding level, created a financial hardship for all the RRCs. In a state with geographic isolation and ethnic diversity such as Alaska, there is a need to consider regional service efforts. Six, currently there are five operating centers, the Southeast, South Central, Northwest, Bristol Bay, and Western. A sixth center may be organized in the near future that was provided for the original bill. The drain on the existing $350,000 request would create a financial hardship for all the existing ones also then. With the decentralization of SOS and the creation of the 21 new school districts, the demand for educational services has greatly increased. The RFCs can provide a stable source for a variety of support services. Eighth thing, the RFCs are controlled by local boards, representatives from each participating community. Therefore, the RFCs can be more responsive to the local needs. Ninth, as well, securing grants and contracts may be a valid effort of the RFCs. The nature of the dedicated funds and short-term soft money, the aspects of competitive grants, does not lend itself to a cadre or a stabilized educational service delivery system. In addition, the diversity of the RFC program staff can provide advantages to centers with grant writing capabilities and leave other centers out of this type of funding. Tenth, the RFC directors and state advisory council recognizes the value of local district financial support as a viable funding method. In fact, it is the recommendation that over a 5-year period, decreased funding should occur. However, point one indicates a need to more fully demonstrate RFC's educational service delivery capabilities. 11th thing, the prospect of 6 little DOEs being created is a very valid concern. However, 2 issues counteract that possibility, one being RFCs are locally controlled through the boards, and 2, RFCs are service providers and are not regulatory. Therefore, we would like to request $750,000, and I'll give some support for that reason. The base support would be $100,000 for each center. We feel that that is necessary to cover the expenses of director, office support, secretary, finance manager, etc., rent, travel, supplies, and communication. That's just the base to set the thing up. Then the remaining monies would be distributed on an average daily membership, the ADM, for towards program development service delivery. So if the projection for the 6 RFC centers times the 100,000 base would be 600,000, and then the ADM portion, 150,000 left, divided by the 90,000 students in this state that would be served, would only be $1.60 per student. So also looking at the present projection with 5 RFCs that are now operating, that would give you a 500,000 base, or even divided by the 40,000 students that are presently being served by these operating 5 centers, is still only $6.25 per student. And it's felt by all the RFCs that are now operating that the 100,000 on the base is absolute necessary for administration and operation of the center. And then the ADM is just as important to equalize factor between the small and the large districts in the number of students. Do you have anything to add on? Any questions?
Let me ask a question. Do you anticipate getting any support from the REAs at all in terms of them furnishing some of your money?
Well, in the respect that they contract the services, each particular service that they need, they pay a contract fee, but that doesn't cover this basic setup. Only the service they contract for.
How much you receive this year?
Well, that would vary with the different centers. Maybe Al could tell you what he got his.
The 3 REAs in Southeastern received approximately $25,000 in contract service on a daily basis to deliver psychological services or suite services.
$25,000 for Southeastern?
Yeah. Gannett Island School District, Chatham Strait, and I think that's it. Southeast Island is the other one. It's approximately $20,000 for speech and psychological services. That has to be spread across with other district grants, however, that would not support a person to do both speech and psychological services. One of the problems that occurs, you get enough money to hire someone half-time, then you have a problem finding half-time psychologists. So you have to support that with some other kinds of funds to deliver those services.
I'm confused as to how you arrived at the $750,000 figure, since your ADM figures under your 2 models are tremendously different. Did you start backwards, or did you have some basis for changing the ADM figure under your 2
models? No, the first thing we said was that to operate the center, we need $100,000 on the base.
Correct.
All right, then, currently there are 5 centers operating. And we said that would take the 500,000, and we really should have 250,000 for the ADM provided up now.
How did you arrive at that? That's what I'm curious about. How did you arrive at the 250?
We did arrive at the $1.60 as a minimal level of ADM support for this coming year, assuming all 6 centers were operating and all students were being served.
Minimal level.
That was a minimal level.
Mr. Chairman,
what is the nature of the psychological services?
It would depend, but quite often it would be testing and evaluation for regulations related to 94142. Will come into a district, work with 3 or 4 students during the day, possibly meet with child study teams to interpret those test results. It may be that some people will help set up child study teams for districts that haven't gotten into that. They may help them train them working with IEPs or individual educational plans.
What kind of testing are they doing?
We'll be using a WISC, maybe a Stanford-Binet, some kind of non-technical testing, but it would be done by a certified psychologist, someone who could not ordinarily administer that test.
Any further questions?
Thank you.
Okay, back to PTPC, page 111. The only question I have here is one that they brought to us, and the governor's budget anticipated fee increase which did not materialize.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman. Our figures at the present time, based on 3 years' history, would say that the funds available would not exceed $70,000.
70?
Yes, sir.
Is that a new RP then?
We will send in the revised pages to the budget, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Matt, does that include the money that the department normally keeps, or is the department still keeping a piece and this is the net?
That's the net. The department still is maintaining the $5. If you look at the legislation, when the CTP was established, the legislation clearly says it's to be paid for by the profession, including, if necessary, an increase in certification fees. It does say an increase. We were charging $5, then we still maintain the $5 in the general fund.
Commissioner's office?
Mr. Chairman, executive administration is broken into 3 units, the commissioner's office, planning and publication, boards and commissions. The general function of these 3 budgets is the direction, policy, and management of the Department of Education. The budgets are submitted maintenance. I think there may have been a reduction in federal funds because of a shift between planning and publications and the educational telecommunications for Alaska project.
Since this was introduced?
No. It's chosen this budget document. $76,000, $70,000, I forgot the exact number.
Why is planning information research less this year than last year?
That's the section in which the
shift.
That's where the shift took place.
Okay. Boards and commissions, any questions on boards and commissions? Oh God. 54,000 last year to fund the Alaska School Activity Association. Is that in there again?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that was an increase to the legislature, apparently sanctioned by the governor and his non-reduction process, that we carried it as a maintenance number.
What is this name?
Page 118.
That's
in the analysis section.
Dick Elias' bill, isn't it?
You put it in.
No, I didn't. Dick Elias' bill.
I believe it was Representative Mackack on the House side, I believe, was doing the legwork on it. I'm not sure on the Senate side.
What was it? What is it?
Was it? Oh, Activity Association. That's the, well, I shouldn't say it's basketball, because that's not really what it was intended for. Two years ago, the legislature established an activities association to cover all types of activities, not just basketball. And this is the administrative cost of that activity.
Project Eco?
Like how Mr. Polly came up and featured this, this is a new program.
That'd make you sick. Not when you've already approved it, but already put in half a million bucks of it.
My name is Ernest Polly. I'm the coordinator of planning and research for the Department of Education. This project and the page we're looking at is the result of an appropriation made by the legislature two years ago of approximately $85,000 for the development of a plan.
This won't teach anybody to make appropriations for $85,000.
Pardon?
Never mind, I'm sorry. Keep going.
The development of a plan for the utilization of telecommunications for education in Alaska came before the Interim Finance Committee with the initial federal receipt on this proposal. The federal government anticipates making an investment of about $3.5 million over a 4-year period, 3 to 4 year period. And the magnitude of the proposal, magnitude of the work effort. It's not a 1-year shot. It's a 4 or 5 year project that is supposed to result in a significant shift in the way we do business in Alaska. Anyway, in any case, the magnitude of the activity was such that the Interim Finance Committee simply approved a portion of the federal receipt if you will, put a lock on it. For the entire legislature with the project. And this is the first step in that process. Underpinning the entire proposal, it is very complex, is a basic argument, which I suppose if you didn't buy the basic proposition, you couldn't possibly buy the proposal. And that basic argument is that we have reached the practical limits labor-intensive investments in education. And we must, simply on the basis of the facts, start looking at providing an optimum mix, if you will, between labor and technology. A case in point would be that a friend of mine at the Alaska Native Language Center in Fairbanks a year or so ago said that in his personal opinion, shy about 250 teachers, certified teachers, in bilingual education in the state, just for the native languages. The practical possibility of providing 250 certified teachers in the native languages in the state, immediately, of course, is non-existent. The cost of hiring 250 bilingual teachers at today's for average teacher salary would be about $4.6 million. Direct cost, that's not the indirect support. This is the type of thing where we wonder if instead of 250, if we found 50, if we practically could find 50 first grade bilingual teachers, added, for the sake of the argument, an additional million on top of that for technology, for the delivery of that instruction statewide, regardless of where students reside, that we could save initially, right off the bat, $3 million. Much less the future cost. The cost of education between 1972 and 1976, that's for pupil costs and state foundation money in the cities and boroughs, rose at an annual rate of 15%. The average daily membership and enrollments in the state of Alaska are either not increasing at all or are increasing at about the rate of 0.1%. This is part of the national picture. And, you know, when we balance off the problems we have with what appears to us finite financial resources, with a long history of some educational problems that we have not been able to solve simply by applying more people to them, it occurs to us that now is the time to take a look at a capital investment. And the first one we're recommending is telecommunications. If you have any questions about the project per se, I'm glad to entertain them. This, by the way, involves no television.
Any questions? Thank you.
Well, I've got a question for you. You've got a $600,000 planning grant from a budget and audit, but now you're requesting twice that amount, and I assume that money's not planning money for FY79.
That $600,000 was not planning money either, Senator. It was for operations, actual operations. We anticipate having up by June 30th. We had to receive this yet.
According to our note on page 120, it says approval of the RP was for receipt of planning funds and was for and was not approval of project.
Okay.
But, and I'll let the chairman of the budget and audit committee pursue that if they want to. But my question is, what are your operational plans for FY79 with the $1,300,000?
We will have, I believe it's 30 locations up and running. That means 30 school districts, combination of school districts and regional resource centers in the department interconnected and up and running on the basic communications net. Plus a limited number, and we're not quite sure how many, classrooms put in to really start providing direct instructional services.
And there's something like, what, 50 school districts in the state?
Yes, sir.
And you plan this in 30 locations, so only about half the districts are going to participate?
No, sir. By December of 79, we would have over 60 sites up in operation.
And what do you envision doing the first year?
Establishing the basic communications network, establishing the management system through communications. And this, I mean, we're not trading paper back and forth anymore or shifting bodies, flying bodies around the state. But design the management system, get established.
So in terms of delivery of services, what's going to happen in the fall of 78? What services will those 60 districts they receive?
In the fall of 78. They'll be receiving the mail drop system. I can go into that in some detail. They'll be receiving the initial stages of a federal state reporting system. A big forms hassle, only we don't want to trade paper anymore. They will have formed the consumers groups, that means the teachers and the youngsters and the communities where these people are located, will be actively at work through the communication system. We'll have designed probably three of the instructional radio programs for delivery of instruction through radio. And we'll have generally initiated
okay. For example, what courses do you find that use radio instruction with?
I'll give you two answers to that. One, I personally would guess that we'll see a great deal of science and math and certain types of vocational education as being priority areas. However, we cannot second guess that. Our entire model is built on what we call, in the jargon, a user-driven system. And it isn't until we hook up with the people that have the need and they tell us where their priorities are, well, I know as to what direction the instructional radio is going to take.
Why are you not using TV?
Too expensive. No payoff.
Where are you getting the radio program?
We'll have to build those ourselves.
And who's going to do that?
We will.
Part of the 1.3?
Yeah, we'll design it. Now, as to whether or not
We're not going to go around and set up broadcast studios. You'll be able to use existing stations, radio stations, but that's okay. But we'll design those programs, yes.
Maybe I missed it. How does this save the state money?
Saves the state money, we hope, in terms of the rate of increase. The cost of education are going to improve.
They won't hire new teachers because they have this media or electronic media system, is that what you're saying?
Yes. We hope, you know, that's our fond desire, that we can take existing staffs. Yeah, we have cases out there where there's one or two teachers and 10 or 15 students. Now, it doesn't make much sense to add two or three more teachers to that same student body. What does make sense, though, is to give those two teachers the power, if you will, the instructional power of a staff of 4 or 5 or 6 or 10, so that, you know, they can deliver more for the current investment in labor. It's a matter of improving the efficiency.
My district is 30 students to one teacher.
The statewide ratio, the statewide pupil teacher ratio right now is 18.3 students to one.
Well, my district is about 25 to 30. Now, how's that going to help my district?
If I was in that classroom situation, I would very much appreciate the kind of technology that I'm talking about, because I could possibly have to only prepare, be totally responsible for instruction for, let's say, 3 instructional hours a day, if I could be backed up by an absent teacher over the communication system who can handle some of the other instructional hours, or who can handle a portion of my class. I could effectively reduce the number of instructional problems I have through the application of the technology.
We're going to have to break. Teachers are going to ask for less money then?
It's 5 minutes after.
Oh, no.
We can get back to this later if you desire. Does anybody have any bills they need to bring up tomorrow or have ready for tomorrow? If not, we don't have anything on the calendar of 6
o'clock. John, what is The subject for discussion today is the supplemental appropriations of the University of Alaska. We're discussing it through Senate Bill 462. Supplemental appropriation for the University of Alaska for FY78. Senator Clark. Is there anyone who wishes to present testimony on this?
Senator Holman, members of the committee, my name is Tim Dilsworth. I'm assistant to the president for academic affairs with the university.
Hey, would you take a seat at the end of the table?
I have not had an opportunity to review Senator Croft's bill. We did give testimony in the House Finance Committee and urge your favorable consideration of the supplemental. I am here to attempt to answer any questions you might have relative to any portion of that, as well as Dr. Pat O'Rourke, Chancellor of Community Colleges and Extension and Rural Education. Basically, we feel a very strong necessity to have your urgent consideration of this legislation because of pending programs that will be severely impacted if the funds are not forthcoming.
Mr. Chairman? Senator Persaud.
Dr. Tillsworth, I think you may not be aware of the fact that Senator Croft's bill applies only to Anchorage Community College.
No, I was not aware of that.
Do you have a copy of the bill?
No, I do. Do not.
Mr. Chairman, to be appropriate, I'd like to have Dr. Tillsworth comment on all of the requested supplemental appropriations for the university, not just Anchorage Community College. I don't think Anchorage Community College is unique in their need for supplemental.
Do you have the workout sheet?
come cheap.
Does everyone have this sheet before? Well, it starts off with a list of appropriations to hospital.
No, I don't have that.
717. Corrections to hospital 717 is the second column.
First thing.
What, the back whole thing, back part?
Reading his report.
That's a summary.
Wow.
The thickest part of that is on the back, and that's the copy of the supplemental itself.
You'll separate out those funds that are for pay increases, too, huh?
That's the House Committee substituting House Bill 717 did separate out the longevity pay increases.
No, there was some other, there was plain pay increases.
I'm
very
not aware of.
Not in the supplemental.
I thought they were spending some of the funds. One of the reasons they're running a little short, I thought that they had okay the pay increases.
That's
and were
right.
Spending some of the funds.
That's the 800,000 that you see here in column 3.
That's not pay increase, Senator. What we're speaking to there is it's the salary schedule that the university had adopted last year has annual step increments in it, and that's what they're paying. And that's what this 892,000 is for. It's not for a percentage increase in the schedule itself. It's for maintenance of the current salary schedule.
Now, there's no new salary increases that they granted. I heard otherwise, so maybe.
No,
what was discussed in the Budget and Audit Committee was the longevity and merit step increases that were granted.
Okay, that I understand.
Now, there is another, maybe you're speaking, Senator, to the recent arbitration for the community college faculty, which is not effective until next July 1, next fiscal year.
Well,
maybe what you're thinking of.
We'll get it straight.
Refresh my mind on what the Budget and Audit Committee did last summer and fall. The university asked us a question about salary increase.
Yes. The university asked the Budget Audit Committee if the Budget Audit Committee felt it was appropriate for the university to go ahead and pay the built-in maintenance of the salary schedule was $892,000. As I recall, the discussions at the committee said it's up to the university, and if they do spend it, they would be still limited to the total final appropriation if the supplemental didn't get approved. So the university did go ahead and has authorized the payment of these expenditures on the assumption that the supplemental would get approved. And the committee was aware of that. So that was really the discussions we had in October, to make sure that the committee knew that was taking place. That would not be a surprise when they came in this spring. So it was awareness discussion more than anything else.
I feel that, Chairman, we wouldn't have any problems getting the books balanced at the University of Alaska if we stopped all pay rate increases of any kind until they got them cleaned up. You know, I can't see penalizing the students, but I sure can. You know, the faculty would certainly put the heat on the top echelon to get their books in order if we granted no pay increases of any type, merit or otherwise, until such time as their books were in shape.
Senator Arce.
Mr. Chairman, I have a different sentence on that. The faculty has been on the administration for years and years, literally, about getting the pay and records straightened out, because their own paychecks are so screwed up that they vary 100% from paycheck to paycheck in some cases. And it still hasn't worked. I don't think that's a particularly appropriate solution.
You go on paying them, and it's no solution.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I agree with what Shane Knight, because they don't have weapon prices short of walking off the job. I see no reason that we should exercise punitive measures as far as salaries go, unless you want to go all the way across the state and do it to some of these guys down here that are up in the $60,000 brackets, and we're not doing anything about it. If you want to open the whole bag up.
Well, John, there's very little things that are in such a lousy shape as our university. You know, we were a third-rate institution, now we're fourth-rate. And it makes it pretty tough. You know, there's a few segments in it that are excellent.
You can say that about a lot of our departments.
I'm not arguing about it. It's just that I raised four kids and had to educate all of them outside, and you know, I don't think that's hard to understand.
Well, to so we get a whole difference.
So the salaries have been broken out according to your column there, salary increases, increments. And what the House did was to total those up and put them in as a separate section in their committee substitute, $892,500. Dave, why don't you walk us through the rest of this?
Sure. Maybe we can add one thing. What the House committee substitute bill has done is to pick up that $892,000 as appropriation to the office of the governor rather than directly to the university, so that it would specifically go only for the excess cost of any longevity station and could not be used for any other purpose. So that was the reason for the House changing that particular section. And I would suggest that the Senate might want to consider that same type of approach. In the correction column to the House bills, House Bill 717, which is the governor's request, and maybe Judy should speak to these as well as I. I'll speak to the plus. The $57,400, you see as footnote number two, was an item that was requested by the university, was left out by mistake by the governor's office as they developed the bill, and is supported by the governor's office as an add-on. They do agree that it was strictly a mistake and would have been in there. It was not left out because they did not support it.
What is the $57,400?
If I recall, it's the library, Pat?
The library.
Which was left out in the original FY78 appropriation. It was not budgeted for. So this would pick them up really at fiscal 77 level, am I correct on that?
Partially, there was some transfers to keep some ongoing operations.
The other three items, maybe Judy can speak to, because she identified those as capital items.
The other three items that you see there with negative figures in footnote one are actually what I think are probably capital items that should not have appeared in the operating budget. Budget management identifies any equipment purchase of over $25,000 as capital expense, and therefore would be more appropriate to have a direct appropriation for it in the FY79 capital budget. I can't recall specifically what all of these are. They are in the back of the one under acreage. The $52,000, I believe, under Fairbanks is for an electronic security system in the library. I believe the one under organized research is for some major farm equipment under the Institute of Agricultural Sciences. And the one at Anchorage, I'm not sure if I can find it. The one under acreage is equipment for technical programs.
May I ask a question? Why are they bracketed any particular significance?
It signifies a negative figure. In other words, to be subtracted out.
Subtracted from first column. We're working to the right. So we start with HB 717 column, and then we'll be working across the page. And we have some corrections, which would be some minuses and one plus. So that's a minus to this original figure. And the salary increases again would be a minus. In effect, what we're suggesting on this sheet is that if you consider an amendment to Senator Croft's bill to appropriate the full supplemental to the university, you would be appropriating the final column called subtotal. That would be what we would suggest would be the appropriate appropriation levels for the supplemental.
And that includes appropriating the $892 for the governor's office, not for the university?
That would be our recommendation, yes.
Judy?
Yeah, I have one more question to address to the university, and that is the legislative intent for the fiscal 78 budget specifically stated that a request for a supplemental would be entertained for maintenance items. And there are several items in the supplemental which either were not requested at all in the 78 budget or were requested as change items in the 78 budget. And I'll be specific. Those items are for Anchorage Community College, the airframe and power plant facility. There's $19,000, $19,800 included in the supplemental for that. That did not appear at all, as far as I could tell, in the original fiscal 78 request.
Did it stand, or is it in the deletion?
No, it's in the supplemental.
Still there.
It's still in.
Yes.
Where's that at? Do we have a document that refers to?
Yes. This thick packet that you have here That was Anchorage Community College. That, unfortunately, when this thing was Xeroxed, the page numbers were not included in the Xeroxing.
Maybe about 28.
Yes, it's page 28.
Is it okay? It's the first item on that page, whatever it is.
No, it's the last item.
Sorry, we must have different copies.
Oh, you do, I'm sorry.
They did Xerox my numbers and groceries.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you run out of numbers about halfway through.
It's under Anchorage Community College.
I got page 30 so here, the next page is 29, the next page is...
The next, anybody, pardon?
Shows on page 29.
29, okay. The next item is the Anchorage Senior College, the Criminal Justice Program. There's $46,400 included for that. Funds for that were included in the change budget originally for fiscal 78. And that would show under University, more toward the front than the other one, under University of Alaska Anchorage. It's number two priority under Anchorage. And the third and fourth items are both under the Juno campus, which would be between the first two items I've shown in sequence, about on page 22, I believe. There's 128.9 included for physical facilities, whereas the original maintenance budget for fiscal 78 only included 71,000. And on the following page for the computer node, there's 61.5 included there. And originally in the fiscal 78 budget, there was 114.2 requested in the change budget. So these four items, I think should be specifically addressed as to why they are included in the supplemental when they were not included in the original maintenance budget for fiscal 78.
May I respond?
Yes, sir.
There are about five or six questions that were posed, and I'll just start at the top. Relative to Senate Bill 462, the university is not opposed to that legislation. However, we would prefer that the supplement in total be considered. There are many programs that will be impacted other than just ACC, including, for example, the need to close many of the facilities in Juneau because of lack of operation and maintenance funds. Relative to the questions raised about corrections to House Bill 717, I don't know what the $39,800 footnote one for organized research.
I responded to Judy's question. Nothing before, just the most recent questions.
Yeah.
In other words, the ones referring to the items that were not included in the fiscal 78 maintenance?
Yes.
Oh,
well, state your question one more time.
It sounds like you're responding to the capital items.
Yes.
Okay, fine, as long as everybody understands.
Well, let's go back to your questions on the change. We'll start backwards. Ask your question again, and then we'll proceed.
All right, the four items that I just recently specifically stated, in other words, the airframe and power plant facility, the criminal justice center, the Juno facilities maintenance and computer node, of those four items, none of them were in the original fiscal 78 maintenance budget. And the question is, since the intent stated the supplemental was to be entertained only for maintenance items, would you then respond as to why these are justified as items in the supplemental?
I'd like to defer the ACC one to Pat, please.
Can we add a fifth item, Mr. Chairman? And that would be the position for Mrs. Reynolds.
Well, that one.
Judy, with regard specifically to the ACC items on the airframe and power plant facility, as I understand, after submission and sometime last spring, there was the particular plant that they were using was deemed unsafe and unusable for that particular program, and they were forced to obtain new facilities. And so it's really a maintenance item of existing ongoing programs, even though it may have appeared in the change column last year. But I believe that would be...
Didn't appear at all is actually what happened.
Didn't appear at all, okay. I don't
cost. So that's what basically happened.
Isn't it just an increased cost, unavoidable increased cost of a maintenance item? In other words, you had it one place and it had to be moved to another.
Right, it's a different facility.
So it's not starting a new program or anything.
Same program, same number two.
Is it the same figure that in one document appears as 14.2?
There are two items in there, the 14.2 and 19.8.
14.2, yes, sir.
So, is that for the rent increase or the move from one place in Merrill Field to another?
Yes.
It's all the same thing and you just underestimated 1 point?
Well, I think the way these were prepared, they were prepared in what they call program decision packages, and both those items, it's number 5 on page 28 in my book, and number 6 on page 29, are for the same facility, and it's both of those items.
It's two sheets ahead of 29.
You would have to take number 5 and 28 and number 6 on 29 together. They're both included.
So what do you mean? The total there is 34,000?
Yeah.
Right. Number 5 is for rent increase from February the 1st, 78 to the end of fiscal year, 6/30/72. And the other one is for restoration of program money used to support rent increase to date. Does that mean from
they've had
last
a
July
lease on this new facility pending, but they've been going month to month because the rather than commit to a particular item, and they've been drawing money from other sources of their program, and the second item would actually restore those.
Since last fall.
When did they move to the new facility?
I believe with the beginning of the program here in September.
Item then?
Was the Andrew Senior College Criminal Justice Center.
What page would that be on this time?
It would be toward the front, right after the paradise.
Should be 19 or 20.
Yes, it's on page 19, item 2.
Criminal Justice Center.
46-4, I agree.
It's on page 19.
Oh, yeah, 46-4.
I think that there may be a difference in what we're using as a definition of maintenance. But in order to maintain an ongoing program based on the enrollment trends and the needs of the program, the increase was necessary to maintain the program.
I understood this increase was to supplant federal funds,
which
were no longer forthcoming. So it wasn't necessarily an increase in the program.
Right. In the number of the intent notes in the pre-conference committee version, I think there was some precedence that in terms of these are not new programs, but it is really replacing restricted funds that have been used to support their future program. I'm not saying this one specifically, but that did apply
so
to the number.
It depends on the definition of maintenance that you use, depending on whether or not you consider taking over what had been formerly federal funding to state funding,
that's
as to whether that's maintenance or not.
Right. But you had opened up that possible definition, I think, yourself. I know specifically with regard to P9, that's
I think basically that kind of called it a new program.
I don't have the new one. Immediately handy.
It was defined,
Mr. Scott.
The intent notes in the 78 FCC budget defined the change term, the switching funds as a new program,
as new program
under the definition of maintenance in the letter of intent.
Yeah.
if I may quote, the new programs added by the legislature are in some instances actually continuations of existing programs funded by restricted funds.
Right, that's the note I was referring to, and that seems like you're defining change of funds in a way as maintenance at the same time calling them new programs.
Yeah.
it was defined that way, Mr. Chairman, to preclude it from being counted as part of the 4.4 million. It was in effect an add-on beyond the 4.4 million that was in the letter of intent. It is awkward, but that was the intent.
Senator Arce.
Mr. Chairman, maybe members who were members of the Finance Committee about 4 years ago can refresh my memory on that. That program was started with LEAA funds, which by law only can last 3 years. Was it the intent then of the legislature to have that ongoing program that was just temporarily funded by federal funding, knowing full well it would be picked up by the state general fund at a later time, or was that something that slipped through the cracks?
I think it slipped through the cracks. I don't think it was our intention. We made a commitment to fund it. Anybody else want to correct me?
No, but I understood last year that we phrased it that way so that you couldn't, in the case of federal funds being dropped, pick up a new program that wasn't, you know, without coming to us. And, you know, we wanted it firmly understood that, because there's a million federal programs that you can pick up and get started, and then here we are halfway across the creek, and the funding stopped. What we did was mark out those as new programs that we intended you to keep. And the rest of them you would have to come back to this legislature to reinstate. They weren't to be considered part of the supplemental we'd entertain. The decision of whether to keep them or not keep them, we didn't leave with you. But it looks like you put us in a box anyway.
Sure. Mr. Scott, whether you do or don't make that decision today on this particular program, the question of the continuation of the Criminal Justice Center program is being addressed in the academic master plan being developed at UAA now. And I would suggest we can really consider that as part of the fiscal 79 budget, that total question. We are addressing it in their academic development plan at the campus itself.
I don't really object to that. It's right. Just that when we authorized the supplemental, we didn't authorize this in the supplemental.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the supplemental has not been authorized yet. We're basically here requesting your approval.
Oh, well, the thing is that I'm bound to support your ongoing programs, because we said we would last year entertain the supplemental, but we said at the same time, don't bring in any new ones in with the supplemental. Now we're getting some new ones, and I feel like I'm kind of getting in a box.
Yeah, I think with regard to the Criminal Justice Center and the sources of funds, we're into that hazy area, whether that's new or maintenance, and I guess it would be inversely interpretation of that as maintenance.
Yeah, but it was ours last year that if we had to fork it over enough with state funds, that it was a new program and should be addressed as a new program.
Okay, are there further questions or comments on that item?
The last two, that were the Juno facilities and the Juno computer notes, which the Juno facilities were in the maintenance budget last year at $71,000, whereas shortly after the Anchorage campus, it would be about page
22.
The maintenance budget for fiscal 78 included $71,000 for maintenance of new facilities, whereas the supplemental includes $128,900. And basically, I would just like to have the difference between those two figures addressed.
Well, again, I think it's a question of the definition of maintenance. These are new facilities that came online. And there was insufficient funds to operate them through the fiscal year.
I don't think anybody would question as to whether or not new maintenance of new facilities is a maintenance item. It certainly is. I'm only asking, why is there a difference between the $71,000 that was requested in the maintenance budget for maintenance of new facilities and the $128,900, which is included in the supplemental?
I don't have that document with me, but are you saying that there was only $71,000 included in our operational budget? And then we asked for $128,900 out to be included in the supplement?
Right.
I'd have to check that out.
Sure.
Mr. Scott?
Judy, do you know if the balance of that was in the change column? Did you look?
I can check it out.
Maybe more than I mentioned.
case of the computer note, it was budgeted for 7 months in fiscal year 77, and in order to accommodate 12 months in the fiscal year 78, part of the cost was included in the operational budget and the remainder in the supplement. And it was a matter of choosing priorities of programs.
If I recall, Mr. Chairman, Judy's original question, the original budget request from the university was higher than what's shown here. It's just the reverse.
14-2.
It's the reverse of the question we just asked on the other one.
It's 114-2.
Was this program partially funded out of what we have heard have been transfers within your original base budget? Did you support this program to some extent so that it could be reduced here? You know?
For 78?
Yes, for fiscal 78.
I don't recall, and I believe there was some attempt to bring Ketchikan and Sitka online. If the additional dollar amount in the request last year was 114.2, my inclination at this point would be to think it was for those other two community colleges. With the new reorganization, I presume that this would be in for payments of the note itself.
Was there an explanation as to why this was in the change budget last year, why it was considered a change item? And
the entire amount of 114.2 was in the change column.
Right. Yeah. What I'm asking, I guess, is why is there a difference in definition then and now as to why it was changed then and is maintenance now?
One possibility that I can think of at the present time, and that is that part of those items was for expansion of the node to Sitka and Ketchikan. That wouldn't account for the whole dollar amount of 114.2 being in the change column. It would seem that some of it should have been maintenance and some of it should have been in change.
The question was previously asked as to whether the Juno physical facilities, the remainder of what was over 71,000 was in the change budget for last year, and I've just checked the budget. And actually, what was in the budget for fiscal 78 was 47,000 in maintenance and 24 in change. So the total requested last year in maintenance and change was 71.
In FY 77?
For FY 78. In this document.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know how to respond to some of these. They're so specific that we almost have to go back to a very detailed answer. And we've gone through about 15 budgets this year, and starting in November of 76. It's hard to keep track of which document we're even referring to.
I'm referring to this one.
In funding at the FY 77 level, would not that sum have disappeared?
We're talking about fiscal 78. Budget.
Yeah, that was submitted in November of 76, as I recall.
Maybe I could help some of you,
Mr. Scott.
You're right. The 114, or the 71 that was in that document is not in your current budget.
Right.
However, you're now asking for 128 instead of 71. That's the question.
No, I thought we were back on computer note again.
No, sorry.
I'm losing track here.
Sorry. I was answering the previous question as to whether or not the difference between the 128.9, which is in the supplemental, and the 71, which I had stated was in the fiscal 78 request, might have been in the change budget. And the answer to that was no. The 71,000 represents the total of what was in last year in the fiscal 78 maintenance budget and change budget. So that the 128, the additional to the 128.9 is totally new in terms of what was in this document.
I think the only response that I can come up with is that the inflation factor during the period we submitted that budget document you have, Judy, was prepared in September, October of 76, and the most recent supplement request was in October of 77. So there's a year's time frame in there, and that would account for some of that difference, but I can't explain the rest.
Probably a legitimate explanation is that someone saw a way to get some additional physical plant money under the supplemental, and they did some shifting around.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Let's approve the thing now that we got that.
And now that it's out in the open, I don't feel happy bad about it.
Mr. Scott.
Yes, maybe I can help these two guys a little bit, because neither one of them were involved in the development of the fiscal 78 budget last year. An answer to some of the questions that have been raised today, I believe, and Barbara reminded me, is when the university submitted their budget last year, they said, if I recall correctly, maybe it's in the document that Judy's holding, that it placed in the change in the request column some items which it considered maintenance, because it was submitting the maintenance budget at a 12% cap established by the governor, and it couldn't get all its maintenance items within that 12% figure. So some of them showed up in the request column. So I think that may answer a couple of the items that we're talking about today, but not all of them. Maybe the university can follow up on that.
Are there any further comments or questions about the four items? We have one other. That's the Ramos question.
On page, I think it's 44, Mr. Chairman, the university has budgeted for a new position for Mrs. Ramos, who is being transferred. And just the question is, why is a new position necessary, since there's so many vacancies at the university? Yes.
And evidently, the vice president for rural education is not vacant.
She's no longer the vice president.
No, that's correct. She has been reassigned to Anchorage Community College. The this is a committed item, I believe, with budget audit. It was stated that she had been paid all along against a non-budgeted account this year. The request for this supplement was that would be the maintenance item. To the extent that the hearing officer agreed to file requested her reassignment.
Why would a hearing officer require a new position to be established?
Theoretically, I would believe that I am filling her old position.
But aren't there, I guess what I'm asking is, aren't there vacant positions in REA that could be used for Mrs. Ramos? Why do we have to create a new one?
Part of the creation of a new one is if there are vacant positions this year, Dave, which I would probably agree to. I don't know specifically where they are and what transfers may have been made to have affected that particular situation. The thing is, there would be a continuing expense next year in Mrs. Ramos's new position, which merely filling those gaps this year would not take care of in establishing a base at 79.
Is she serving a function that hadn't been performed before in her new position?
It's probably a new program that Anchorage can develop.
I guess that's the point I was trying to get to. Mm-hmm. I think it really is a new program, Mr. Chairman. It probably shouldn't be in the supplement.
It shouldn't be in the supplement?
Should not. I think supplemental is for maintenance. And I believe what she's doing is filling a new function on her, as part of the transfer.
That function was created for her as a result of the previous situation. So really, the funding we requested is for an employee that is currently ongoing. The fact that the program is new, I won't refute the right. The employee is there from that standpoint.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Buttrick,
wasn't someone put aboard to replace Elaine in the job she was filling?
Yes.
So. Unless she replaced somebody else, wouldn't hers then be a new job? You see what I mean?
Yes, the job and the position of the program that she will be fulfilling is new. The fact that she was to be reassigned and someone else was assigned to her old position means that there was a carry-forward item. There was a maintenance place there. The woman existed on our payroll.
You fund people or you fund jobs?
Well, unfortunately, in this particular case, we funded a person. A settlement of agreements. Mr. Scott?
I think Mr. Chairman's why I brought it up. I'd hate to see us begin to fund transfers of people by creating new positions for them through either the supplemental or any other documents. I think it should be created as a new program request. She should be covered by current university funds.
Where is she just covered from?
Mr. Dr. Lawrence?
At the time of this submittal for the supplemental, I don't believe she had been reassigned, and I don't think the arbitration had been determined at that point in time. So with agreements, settlement, and, but I don't think the decision would have been reached as to what a reassignment would be. And so we didn't know whether it was a new program or not, as part of the difficulty.
I think the university is morally obligated, if not legally obligated, to pay the position in some place to whether or not it belongs in here. As Dave suggests, it doesn't. I'm inclined to agree with Dave.
We're in full agreement, John.
Senator, tell you.
There's, you know, what they should have had to do is not fill some other vacancy and pay out of that until they could have come forward in a new budget. As a new program, but to
I'm inclined to agree with you.
That's all we're saying. It's not where we can't argue with hiring. Or we can, but we lose.
Is there some reason she was not assigned to an existing vacant position?
Just from the standpoint that one suitable could not be found.
Suitable in terms of what?
Mrs. Ramos's particular background, talents, capabilities.
Salary demands?
Probably salary demands, too. But, you know, she's got a much reduced salary from her vice president salary.
What is it, her 64 kilos of budget?
Unfortunately, yes. we just recently culminated this whole thing, so up until now she has been paid her vice president salary.
Which is how much?
Well, this is all in salary, so there's staff benefits on top of that of approximately 17.9. I guess that brings the base salary someplace around 55 or 56.
55 or 56.
It's a little bigger than the government.
In this matter, we have a choice of either accepting it as it's listed here. Are deducting 64.4?
Yes.
There's some more information over here,
Mike.
Mr. Chairman, Rick Davies from the Alaska City Lobby. We talked to Elaine Ramos in Anchorage just the other week, and she, in fact, at the Alaska City Lobby meeting, she was very concerned that she had not been reassigned. In fact, she stated to us that she was still VP salary, and had continually asked for an assignment. And has yet to be assigned. So I would like to know, and I think the committee would probably like to know, where is she assigned, what function is she doing, and what is her present salary, what's that function?
Is there a response to that?
Sure. her reassignment was offered, I believe, about 2 weeks ago to Mrs. Ramos. My understanding is she has accepted the position. She has accepted a position created at Anchorage Community College by Dr. Stewart for developmental and cultural programs. I believe she'll be working specifically with Native students.
At this salary?
At $34,000 or $35,000. As I understand it, is in line with the ACC administrative structure.
Any questions on that?
Just a short statement. I don't blame Mrs. Ramos for the situation she got in, really. I blame the university. What I would like to know is if Dave has, are you satisfied? How are we going to finance this money?
Well, I recommend the committee that delete it from the supplemental and the university cover it from its internal salary savings during the current year.
Is there B&B?
Yes.
Is there a problem? Let's have a straw poll. Is there a problem with that procedure in the committee?
Oh.
All right, let's plan to do that. Are you through, Senator Rutgers?
I think I am.
I have one comment, Mr. Chairman, on the document fund before you leave.
Dr. Scott, go ahead.
There is one other item that doesn't appear on the space sheet that you're looking at, which I would like to discuss with you. The university has also requested another supplemental for management team expenses for fiscal 78. Recall they hired several consultants, a group of consultants. Senate Bill 150 in the last session provided $150,000 for the fiscal 77 expenses of that group. The university has submitted a bill which is on the House side for an additional $157,005. cover the fiscal 78 expenses. I want to remind you of that because my recommendation is that that $157,800 be considered part of this supplemental that you're looking at now, and that we write a section into this bill if it is amended to indicate that, that those funds are to come from this supplemental rather than from a separate supplemental.
May I ask a question? Dave, I missed you. I'm sorry. Who submitted the bill in the House?
It's the House. The governor. It's House Bill 760.
But is it an administration bill?
Yes, it is. They submitted 716 and 717 as companion bills.
And do they have, in your opinion, support for it?
No. Yeah. I don't know if Barbara wants to speak to it or not.
Is that a blank check for giving these guys or what?
No, this is expenses already incurred, Senator. Well, it's a question of whether there's any commitment to give them a supplemental to cover those expenses. My suggestion to you is to have them take it out of these dollars that we're looking at here, rather than considering a further supplemental action.
What? Was there any control or was any budget for these this management team thing, or are they just working whatever they time they can? They said submit a bill. I don't understand how we got there in the first place.
It was our understanding when we were told by the university that they had talked with the legislature last year. Remember, there was a supplemental bill for $150,000 for the management team for this FY77 expenses. You know, about $25,000, $29,000 left over from that, which we deducted from the money they've already spent in FY78.
But what's the control on their expenditure in the first place?
Well, their understanding was that they had legislative concurrence that they should get this team on board and the legislature would fund the costs.
No matter what the cost was?
I don't know what the
Real question is, excuse me, Mr. Chairman. The real question has come up. The university apparently felt it had a verbal authorization to expend in the fiscal 78 year, and that they would be, and the supplemental would be entertained for those expenditures. We have not been able to find any basis for that verbal assurance.
I think we at some point in our proceedings this year ought to define what legislative concurrence is and legislative approval is. It seems to, in many cases, boil down to a promise from one person.
Yes.
And then we have difficulty in pinning that one person down.
What we did tell them too was that if any part of the management team is filling a function that is an ongoing function, that is a role brewer team during the summer, as the acting vice president of finance, he was at one point talking about being part of the management team, as his expenses were being talked about as part of the management team expenses, and he said, no, if he's filling an assistant position, doing what anybody else filling that position would be doing. So we pulled those out, the expenses that were in House Bill 716 are remaining friends, and other people who were extra, who were added, sort of.
But I can't perceive a consultant coming into an organization without some understanding of the level of service and the dollar amount that service is supposed to perform.
Yeah, no, there were signed contracts. There was one problem, not by successful launch.
I don't think the problem is with the consultants overrunning. I believe it was what understanding they have from the university to them. There was one consultant who did overrun the purchase order, but that supposedly was also on the verbal authorization.
Okay, then by what level did the university decide that the 150 or 300 or whatever the dollar figure is the appropriate figure, and where, and did the legislature have any idea what that figure would be?
If I could just continue on. I'm not offering this as any defense for the action, but you know, an attempt to explain where they have been. As Barbara indicated, I think there was some feeling that there was a verbal agreement with the legislature to go ahead and continue the consultant team. I don't know if any numbers that you were talked about or not, but the fact of the matter is we're not able to document that. I believe that the necessary controls in place on this type of facility. That's correct.
I just want to ask through the chair, I want to ask you a question.